Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right. Hey, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to be with you. Of course, we're in the Sunbury Motor Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Kevin will be telling you a little bit later in the show about the vehicle he is driving this week. And Kevin has Shikellamy basketball coming up tonight. And, of course, I have Penn State basketball coming up tonight. You'll hear Shikellamy right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Penn State takes on Minnesota tonight. Minnesota tries to create so much with their defense. They have 10.7 steals per game, number one in the nation. So ball handling will be very important today with Penn State and Minnesota. That is coming up tonight at the Jordan Center as Penn State looks to make it two in a row. Right now they're 13-7 overall. Super Bowl coming up on Sunday. We talked about Media Day yesterday where Marshawn Lynch is, I think he was up there for 5 minutes, I think, and then a beeper went off on his phone, I believe, and that was it. I think he was told if he stayed up there in the booth for 5 minutes, he would not be fined. So he did exactly what he had to do. He also explained that the only reason he was there is because he didn't want to be fined. So for those who wanted to go talk to him or whatever, you know, you have to be smart. You have to know it's a waste of your time going in. And that's his prerogative. He's not going to say – could he say something insightful? Yes, he actually could, because he grew up in a tough area in Oakland. He was able to use education at the University of California, now in the NFL, where he can show young people a way out and talk about it. But that's his prerogative whether to do it or not. Some people are extremely talkative. I can guarantee you in no uncertain terms that Gary Gilliam, who caught the touchdown pass against Green Bay for Seattle's first touchdown on the fake field goal, Gary was extremely talkative, I can guarantee you, yesterday with anybody who wanted to come up to talk to Gary Gilliam. And I know that because I probably talked to Gary Gilliam as often as anybody over the last 4 or 5 years, because Gary was out for 2 years with injuries, and thus he was on the sideline at practice. And he told, you know, I would talk to him all the time about school, about his family, how much he loves basketball. Jordan Hill, by the way, is a huge basketball fan. And of course, as you know, his cousin played for Bucknell. So a wide variety of things. And he loves to talk. So Gary Gilliam, no problem. He gets out there yesterday. The hour probably flew by for him. And then there's a guy like Marshawn Lynch who doesn't want to talk. That's his prerogative. He doesn't want to talk. And as a media person, I'm not going to waste my time, and I'll go someplace else. Russell Wilson will talk. Richard Sherman will talk. Earl Thomas will. Cam Chancellor. Bobby Wagner. Averill. Doug Baldwin. They'll all talk. Gary Gilliam. Jordan Hill. Jordan Hill will be, last year was a healthy scratch for the Super Bowl. Unfortunately for him, he'll be out of this game. Ironically, for both teams heading into this game, I mentioned Jordan Hill being hurt. They are about as healthy as two Super Bowl teams can be based on their last two games. They haven't lost anybody. The Seahawks obviously have two guys that would really help them in this game. Jordan Hill, who was injured in the last week of the season. He was playing at a very high level for Seattle at defensive tackle, very high level. And they lost their kick returner, Richardson, who was probably the fastest guy on the team. They lost him. That's why Doug Baldwin's returning kickoffs right now. But that's it for Seattle. For the Patriots, they don't have anybody. You know, Gerard Mayo's been out almost all year anyway, but that really has been it. And sometimes in this league, it's whomever the healthiest is the one that gets to this point. Well, now you have both teams in relatively good health heading into the game. So that was yesterday. Now it's the land of make-believe for the next few days because there'll be only limited contacts with the coaches and the quarterbacks and maybe some selected other people at team hotels and so forth. Everybody's done the majority of their work that was done last week. I know from the announcer point of view, for example, last week would have been the week I would have done it. I know that when I prepare for bowl games, I mean, this year's game is, what, the 27th? I had the thing probably done 10 days ahead of time. Probably had it done by the 17th, if I remember. I remember going into the weekend before Christmas, which would have been, what, the 20th? And I know I had a game at Drexel, for example. I already had the bowl game prepared completely. That way, Christmas was extremely relaxing for me. I sat back, laid out, had a great time, got up on the 26th, drove to New York, and the second I got to New York, I was literally, I think the first person I saw walking in the hotel was Jeff Nelson. The second person I saw was James Franklin, and they said, "Hey, look, we're going to practice here in about 10 minutes. Come on down, come with us." Okay, great. And got a lot out of it. So it is, when you do it ahead of time, you can then take in whatever scene there is. Did Super Bowl Media Day last year. Glad I did it. Once you go through it once, and when they do it in enclosed arenas like that, normally in the past they've done it in the stadium. Well, they couldn't do it in the stadium last year. They needed to go to an enclosed area. That's why they went to the Rock over the Prudential Center where the Devils play. They couldn't do it last year because you look around and say, okay, it might be snowing in the state. So you had to have it planned ahead of time to be inside. So it was cramped quarters last year, trying to work it around in a hockey arena. But they made it work. Well, they did the same thing this year. They put it in an arena, not in the stadium, which surprised me. But, of course, the stadium just hosted the Pro Bowl, too, so I don't know if that really came into play or not. But they sell tickets to this. For $28, you can go as a fan to Media Day. Why? I'm totally confused. Who would want to buy a ticket to sit in the stands at Media Day for $28? Say you have your wife with you. You want to go. $56. Take her out to eat. What a waste of money. I couldn't believe last year when I went in and I looked around and I knew they'd done this, but I couldn't believe there are thousands of people in there. I don't mean the thousands of people on the floor because there's 5,000 media credentials and they're all down there. But there are thousands of people in the stands. Why? Who would do that? Oh, wait, hold on a second. I do know somebody that would do that. Kevin would go. Yeah, this would be great. What do you think? We'll go to Media Day. See, what do you get out of it? I don't see what you would get out of it. You got to go in with a game plan. When you're a media person, there's certain things you got to get. You do have to get, for example, you do have to get Pete Carroll. You do have to get Russell Wilson. And they have what's called a molt box for you to plug in, and you can get their press conference. You can get like 5-6 minutes of that, 5-6 minutes of Pete Carroll. Boom, probably Richard Sherman, 5-6 minutes of that. Then you specialize. You know, if I was covering yesterday, Gary Gilliam one-on-one, Jordan Hill one-on-one. Then, with the Patriots, you got to get Belichick. You got to get Brady. Darrell Revis, got to get him. One of the top players, Dante Hightower, Gronkowski. And you're able to do it if I get 5 minutes here, 5 minutes here, 5 minutes here, 5 minutes here. You can get a well-rounded deal where you have enough where you can do reports. Now, to go in with a game plan. But to spend $28.50. I'm now up to $57. Because you're not just going to go yourself. Take her out to eat. I've been to Phoenix, Scottsdale enough, done games there. There's some nice places to eat there. Beautiful places, especially in Scottsdale. Come on. To me, that is, I don't want to say it's an ultimate gouge by the NFL. We're going to talk about that in the next half hour. But I don't blame them if they think that they can recoup something by doing it and people are willing to. I'm not going to blame the NFL for that. Hey, we ought to sell tickets to this. I'm sure they sat down when they originally had this idea and said, hey, we could sell tickets to this. And in the room, they all, oh, yeah, right. Who wants to go see that? Well, I can tell you last year, looking up at the stands of the Prudential Center, there are thousands of people that wanted to do that last year. And there are thousands of people in Phoenix who wanted to do it this year. I don't get it at all. I guess part of it is if you don't have a ticket to the game or you don't want to go to the game, this makes you feel like you're a part of the game. Now, that part I'll get, all right? And it kind of makes you feel like you're a part of what's going on. You take it in, but I can tell you all you do is sit there and watch a bunch of people in cubicles talking. That's what they do. Okay? They come out at the exact minute they have to, en masse, go to their respective cubicles, and then the players that aren't assigned cubicles go to what's called the bullpen, the offensive bullpen and the defensive bullpen. When the 60 minutes is up, they get up and they all exit. There is zero interaction with the fans. Zero. None. Nada. Zip. Zilch. I feel like I'm doing the AT&T commercial. So that's what you get. Plus, you'll probably buy food in the arena. That's expensive. You could have taken her out to eat. You could have. And I don't understand the deal with her. Why should, yeah, okay, honey, if that's what you want to do. Really? I guess. I looked around last year and I thought, this is bizarre. Now, part of it last year I could also buy. Here's the other part I could buy about last year. It was 9 degrees when we got there last year. 9. Because I had to stay outside for 45 minutes in the media line to check in. So I could see why people would say, hey, I'll pay $28.50. I'll get out of the cold for a few hours. I'll go to the concession stand. I'll do whatever. This is different. You're in Phoenix. You're in Arizona. Get some golf clubs. Find a course. Enjoy your life. They got great golf courses in Phoenix and Scottsdale. Goodness sakes, if you want to really make a day of it, go down to Tucson. Go down to Ventana Canyon. I played El Conquistador down there. I played the mountain course at Ventana Canyon, the canyon course. Have a good time. Watch the highlights on SportsCenter or NFL Network. I see stuff like that. I looked up last year. You know what I thought? P.T. Barnum was right. Next half hour, the money grab by the NFL. We'll talk about that and more as we continue. Thanks for joining us today here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915. Sunbury Motor Company has over 300 new Fords and over 100 new Hyundais that must be sold now. Get savings up to $11,000 during the January inventory liquidation event at Sunbury Motor Company. Liquidation means vehicles need to fly off the lot as quickly as possible, and Sunbury Motors will do what it takes to earn your business now. See all of the great deals on new Fords and Hyundais now, because time is of the essence, and if you wait too long, the new Ford or Hyundai you've had your eyes on will be in someone else's driveway. At Sunbury Motor Company, they never pressure you into buying a vehicle you don't want or that's out of your price range. They want to make sure you're getting the best possible deal with the best possible service before, during, and after the sale. This is the time to buy that new Ford or Hyundai, and this is the place. Stop at Sunbury Motor Company now while the selection's at its best. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us here on this Wednesday. Kevin's got Shikellamy basketball coming up. I've got Penn State basketball tonight, Nittany Lions and Minnesota at the Bryce Jordan Center. That'll be 7 this evening. Of course, we have Shik basketball in the air here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Penn State 13-7, Minnesota 13-8. Minnesota creates a lot of takeaways off their defense. 10.7 steals per game. And that's how they try to generate it. Big man Mo Walker inside. Joey King can step outside and shoot. DeAndre Mathew, good basketball player. Streaky, but a good basketball player. Carlos Morris has stepped in, played well for them. DeAndre Mathew, who I thought played very well and was the key to last year's season for them because he steadied that team, is now back in the starting lineup at point guard. And that'll be tonight at the BJC as Penn State looks to make it back-to-back wins after their 79-51 win over Rutgers Saturday at the Jordan Center. And what a run DJ Newbill is on right now. Newbill has scored 87 points in his last three games. That's 29 points a game. He's had a 37, a 27, and a 23 in his last three games. Your scoring is supposed to go down in conference play because everybody knows everybody's tendencies. There are no secrets at this level. That's what I was talking with Dave Paulson on Monday's show. Remember the question I asked him? I said, Dave, no secrets at this level, are there? He said, no. Once you get into conference play, you may be able to put a wrinkle in here or there, but they know your personnel inside and out already. Before Dave put in, they've got Lehigh coming up tonight at Soika. That'll be on Eagle 107. But, and Doug will have that for you, Doug Birdsong, who does an awesome job. And, you know, before he even looked at a DVD, he already had some handle on their personnel just because he saw them twice in person last year and twice in person the year before. So the veteran personnel, he already had a handle on. Now he needs to put the DVD in and see, okay, you know, where are they a little bit better now? Oh, look, I'm okay. You know, his game's really improved from last year to this year. He's now added this in. Okay, they have a tendency to do that. They've changed up this defense a little bit. They've changed this offensive set. Okay, what are the freshmen add? I mean, that, you know, that's what happens, familiarity. That's what I talked about, one of the challenges that James Franklin and his staff would have at Penn State. And this is very, extremely, extremely underrated by people across the board. When you have to come in and learn 11 new opponents, I mean, the one, you know, well, they play 13 games, so it's 11 new opponents. Now, they had familiarity with UMass, and they had some familiarity with Northwestern. When you have to come in and learn 11 new opponents like they did, where, I mean, literally, you are starting from scratch as to what you have to learn about the tendencies of the other guy. And you really then have to make decisions. What do I tell and show my team? Because you can't show them everything. For example, you want to get ready for Michigan State in basketball? Tom Izzo has a playbook an inch thick of sideline out-of-bounds plays, baseline out-of-bounds plays. They run a play off the opening tip, for goodness sakes, trying to score off the opening tip. And they have several plays as to how they try to score off the opening tip. Several. Well, you don't have time, and nor do they have the concentration for you to go through the playbook with them. You just have to be selective to show them what they're doing. especially at a short turnaround like basketball. Football, you have a week. But again, the same thing. And you have to learn all of that. Well, this year, Penn State will play. Let's see. They will play. Let's see the games. They would have to learn Army, San Diego State, and Buffalo. They will know of the opponents that they're playing this year. They'll already know 9 of the 12. 9 of the 12 opponents they'll know right away, personnel-wise, because Illinois and Northwestern stayed on the schedule, along with the 6 divisional opponents that they'll play every year. So they'll only have to really take in, you know, really lock down on 3 that they haven't seen before. Buffalo, Army, and then actually pretty good San Diego State team. That's what they'll have to do. And that'll be the challenge, as opposed to the mass grouping. I was never really aware of this before until Joe Paterno talked to me about this back in the 90s. And when Penn State made the transition from being an independent to getting into the Big Ten, he said that was going to be the biggest challenge, learning all new opponents and their tendencies. And I remember when I talked to Greg Sharp, the play-by-play voice of Nebraska, he said, what's the biggest challenge in the conference? And I told him that. He and I then had lunch when I went out to do basketball at the end of Nebraska's first season in football there. And he said, I talked to Bo Pelini and the coaches. You know what they told me the biggest challenge was? I said, what's that? He said, exactly what you said, learning the new opponents. I said, well, that's what Joe told me. I said, I never would have thought of that. Never. I never would have thought of it. Yeah, okay, fine, you get a new opponent. So are your football coaches. He said, that was the biggest challenge. And that was the biggest challenge for James Franklin and his group, coming in and having to do that. Recruiting rankings. You know I'm not big on recruiting rankings, but as an information piece, I will pass it along to you. We have right now 1 week to go before National Letter of Intent Day. According to Rivals.com, Ohio State, I'll just do it just in the division, okay? Ohio State is 7th nationally in recruiting. Rivals has Penn State 11th in recruiting nationally. They have 23 commitments. According to the Rivals rankings, 11 of them are 4 stars and 12 of them are 3. That's their ranking. I don't know what it means, but at least gives you a gauge. Now, what about the rest of the division? Michigan State is 35th, according to Rivals. Next is Indiana at 46. Maryland is 47. Rutgers is 48. Michigan is 74 right now. When they had the coaching change, a lot of guys who had verbal backed out and opened up their recruiting again. And Jim Harbaugh has had a lot of publicity so far, but it hasn't translated yet on the recruiting trail. They need to somehow, they're going to have to somehow close hard and fast there. But right now, according to Rivals, Michigan is 74th. So just some information to pass along to based on their rankings. I can't sit here and tell you the validity of it because, you know, I like to do things based on what I see. And I don't see – I've never seen any of these guys play before. I'll give you a read, for example, on Paris Palmer, Sterling Jenkins, and Tommy Stevens once spring practice begins because – and I'll come on the show. I'll tell you on the show exactly how they're doing and what kind of look they have to them. Because at that point, I'll be able to see for myself and see them against comparable competition. The NFL, the big bad NFL. I had promoted this before we went into the news. And this is something Kevin and I brought up yesterday. Kevin and I are going to discuss this in a few more minutes here as the show rolls on. But the NFL, about, I'd say, a year ago, maybe 15 months, look to the world, including my world, as a well-oiled, bulletproof machine. A well-oiled, bulletproof machine. 15 months later, the engine is out of oil, and the bulletproof machine looks like Swiss cheese, and they continue to make one mistake after another. The Martin Incognito thing, they lost control of. The Ray Rice thing, the judgment there was stunning and poor. They finally started to get a handle on a couple of things in the Adrian Peterson case. They never got a handle on the Ray McDonald thing. And now they have this deal with the footballs. I watched last night, it's interesting, they've already, last week, the NFL thing and the football thing should have been wrapped up by the end of last week. How long does this take? How long does it take? The referees are out of contact with the footballs on average 6 to 10 minutes before the game. That's it. 6 to 10 minutes. That's it. Gene Steratore, who's working the Penn State game tonight, you know how long, what Gene Steratore's typical regimen is on the footballs? And again, because that's one thing, he's incredibly accessible. I love talking to him. And, part of it, too, is that I remember his dad, and he likes that. Because his dad refereed games for years. You know when Gene Steratore gives out the footballs? Just before the national anthem. Okay? So, in this extensive investigation, I'm sure part of it is trying to find out if it was ordered from the top. That's why it takes a little bit longer. But they still haven't talked to Belichick yet. They haven't talked to Brady yet. They haven't talked to anybody yet. We've talked to 40 people. Last night, for whatever reason, I watched All the President's Men last night. It was on Turner Classic Movies. Woodward and Bernstein. And the hard work and the brilliance that they put in to get a story that was seemingly impossible to cover because there were roadblocks everywhere. There was one point where Richard Kleindienst, who was then the Attorney General, he had taken over for John Mitchell. They had an actual clip of him from an interview he'd done on television saying that it's the most extensive process we've ever gone through. We've interviewed 5,000. These are his numbers. We interviewed 5,500 people. We used the resources of 300 men within the FBI. And I'm sitting there thinking, so this goes all the way back where you try to bedazzle people with big numbers? I don't care about the 5,500 people you interviewed. Did you talk to Haldeman, Ehrlichman, Nixon, and Mitchell and Stans? I mean, I would sincerely hope. Now, talking to their staffers and so forth, I can see the extending it that far because you've got to be able to find a trail as to where something goes. But I don't need you talking to the janitor, okay? We've interviewed 40 people so far, Deflategate. Who? The ball attendant? The ball boy? Brady? Belichick? And the referees. Okay, I can get this done in 20 people. Look, what's the deal? What happened? You got cameras everywhere in the stadium. Come on. I always love when they, we've interviewed 250 people. Did you talk to the 8 key ones? I don't care. That's why I watched that last night and it hit me like a ton of bricks. He was 5,500. The resources of 330 men in the FBI and Secret Service, and I'm looking around saying to myself, "Did you talk to Haldeman, Ehrlichman, Nixon, Mitchell, and Stans and Magruder? Right? If you did that, At some point, you're on your way to something. As for the other 5,492 people, there are probably 40 staffers you probably should talk to, and that's about it. I don't want to tell you about how to conduct an investigation because that's obviously not my area, but common sense tells you, doesn't it? And that's the same thing with the NFL. Oh, this exhausted weeks it's going to take. It's going to take weeks to find out whether a football was inflated when you got security cameras all over the place. Really? Really? Should have been wrapped up by now and in the rearview mirror. But you know what? They don't want in the rearview mirror because people are still talking about it, and maybe it'll draw a few more eyeballs to the TV set on Sunday night. You got a villain now. Love villains. Patriots will be the villain in the game. Seahawks unexpectedly are the Seahawks. All right, we will come back with more in a moment. Kevin's driving another car this week. We'll talk about that and much more and get Mr. Herr involved in the conversation here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay.